Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Suddenly, I'm like a kid in a candy store. That is because this year, as the new millennium approaches, pianists are in. Not just any pianists, mind you. The pianists who are in these days are those who are no longer with us. Alfred Cortot. Wilhelm Kempff. Gerd Seifert. Leopold Godofsky, Benno Moiseevich, Dino Lopati, Levine, Paderewski, Haskell, Cassidy Sue, Bacchus, and Bolet. If those names mean nothing to you, fear not. This is your moment to move into the future by examining the past, and a great and glorious pianistic past it is, too. First, there was the huge and wonderful RCA boxed set of performances by William Capel. Hitherto scattered and hard to find recordings by the man who many believe to have been the greatest pianist America has ever produced. Then there is the Philips series. 200 CDs under the title Great Pianists of the 20th Century. Recordings by 71 pianists, some born in the 19th century or the earliest days of the 20th. And now there is this, running Sundays and Thursdays through the end of February, Great Pianists of the 20th Century on Film, Lincoln Center's Festival of Films and Film Clips from the Louvre, featuring hours of never-before-seen footage of the great pianists of our age, the rarest of rare moving pictures of piano players from Francis Planté, who was born in 1839, to the 18-year-old Maurizio Pollini, just prior to his triumph at the Chopin competition in Warsaw. Films of Edwin Fischer and Josef Hoffmann, Rudolf Serkin and Myra Hess. So, how does all this affect your average pianophile? Is this a little like having a favorite restaurant, one you love and keep a secret written up in the New York Times? Suddenly you can't get in on Friday night, and who'd want to anyway, now that everybody knows about it? Have they taken all the fun out of it? Is there anybody else left to discover? Sure. What about Simone Barrère? All this talk about great pianists makes me think about Barrère, who isn't on anybody's list this year. Dismissed by many critics as a mere machine, Barrère, who lived from 1896 until his remarkable death in performance on stage at Carnegie Hall in 1951, had 10 of the most incredible fingers ever to touch a piano. I was introduced to his playing when I first heard his recording, from 1936, of the Schumann Toccata. Now, the average pianist plays the Schumann Toccata at a tempo something like this. It takes about 7 minutes for most mere mortals to get through the technically difficult piece. Simone Barrère plays it in something over 4 minutes. Just listen to it. Was he a great musical thinker? Maybe not, but who has time to think when you listen to his Chopin C-sharp minor scherzo? He may not be as deep as Arthur Schnabel, but he was, by any standard, a genuine, heart-stopping piano virtuoso. Which is exactly my point. I urge you to do all these things. Listen to the Capel CDs on RCA and the Great Pianists series as they are released now through the end of 99 on the Philips label. And run, do not walk, to Lincoln Center's Walter Reed Theater to see rare films of the great pianists through February. And I caution you, these Goliaths do not have all the answers. Simone Barrère's performances and those of Misha Levitsky and Egon Petri and other great artists are available on a small label called the Piano Library, distributed by Allegro, and some of them are absolutely mind-blowing, too. The pianists of the past are alive, so revel in it. The profundity of Schnabel, the poetry of Ignaz Friedman, the dazzle and warmth of Beno Mozeevich, and the staggering pyrotechnics of Simone Barrère. The piano is a universe unto itself, and there may never be a time as rich in resources as this one in which to explore its spectacular history. I'm Sarah Fischko.